بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We begin in these series of lessons in this blessed masjid bi-idhnillah, with only a few weeks remaining until the blessed month of Ramadan, 8 weeks if I'm correct, the study of Kitab al-Siyam, the book of fasting from Umdatul Ahkam. And previously we studied the chapter or the book of purification from Umdatul Ahkam. And Umdatul Ahkam is a compilation of hadith, and all of the hadith which are contained in this compilation are from Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, all from one of the two most authentic books of hadith amongst Ahlul Sunnah. And this compilation, Umdatul Ahkam, it contains 420 or more hadith regarding Al-Ahkam. And when it is said Al-Ahkam, i.e. the rulings of fiqh. So here the meaning of Al-Ahkam is the rulings of fiqh. So these ahadith which are contained in this compilation are restricted to fiqh, meaning at-tahara, wudu, ghusl, hayd, and then salah, hajj, zakah, sawm, al-nikah, wat-talaq, and so on and so forth. And previously we studied kitab al-tahara in 22 or 23 lessons, and we should have come to kitab al-salah, but because Ramadan is close, it was appropriate that we go through the hadith regarding al-siyam, and then we go back to the hadith regarding al-salah. And the number of hadith in Kitab al-Siyam is just over 30. Just over 30, I think it's 32 hadith regarding al-siyam. And this compilation, it was put together by Al-Hafiz Al-Muhaddith Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi Rahimahullah, who died towards the 5th century of Islam. And we'll be going through the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Bassam called Taysir Al-Allam and other explanations as well. Before we start studying the first hadith, we said that this is the chapter of Al-Siyam, Kitab Al-Siyam. And often the compilations which the scholars of hadith write and put together, you have one compilation, one book. And then this book is divided into further smaller books, like Kitab al-Tahara, Kitab al-Siyam, Kitab al-Salah, Kitab al-Zakah, so on and so forth. And then each book, each individual book, is then divided into Abwab, the chapter. So within Kitab al-Tahara, within the book of Tahara in this compilation, there are a number of chapters, beginning with Kitab al-Miyah, the chapter of liquids and water. Then Bab al-Aniyah, then the chapter of utensils. Then Bab al-Wudu, the chapter of wudu, and so on and so forth. So this is how the Muhaddithun, they organize their compilations. You have the main book, like Sahih Bukhari, and then you have within Sahih Bukhari various kutub, the chapter of the Kitab of Iman, the book of Iman, the book of knowledge, the book of Tahara. And then each book is divided into further smaller chapters which are called Abwab. And that's why you see, for example, like we studied in Al-Usul al-Thalatha, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he entitled the chapter Bab al-Ilmu qabla al-Qawli wal-Amal, the chapter of knowledge precedes statements and actions. And as for the fuqaha, then they have a further classification. So after going to the abwab, then they go through fusul. So in a particular bab, they will have fasal. And a fasal is a subtopic or a sub-chapter. And then within the fusul, they will have masail, mas'ala. The particular issue is this. So within a particular fasal, they might have 10 masail, unlike this. And we begin with Kitabu Siyam, the book of As-Siyam. And Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Bassam, he begins with a short introduction, which we'll go through and we'll read together before we go through the hadith. The first issue is, what is the meaning of As-Siyam? When we say As-Siyam and As-Sawm, and in the English language we translate it as being fasting, but what is the definition of As-Siyam or As-Sawm? And of course, As-Siyam and As-Sawm, both of them are Arabic words, and therefore they have a meaning in the Arabic language, in common Arabic usage, and then they have a specific meaning within the context of the Sharia. So what is the meaning of As-Siyam or As-Sawm? It is Al-Imsak. And the meaning of Al-Imsak is to abstain from something, or to withhold from something, or to leave something alone. And this is only speaking linguistically, meaning when the Arabs, in their everyday conversations, when they speak to each other, if they say the word Siyam, it means to leave something and abandon something. And this linguistic meaning, it is found in the Quran, in the statement of Maryam alayhi salam. She said, Inni nadartu lirrahmani sawman. I have taken a vow with the most merciful, sawman. And this vow wasn't that she fasts, rather sawman, that she abstains from something. And what did she abstain from? Talking to people for a number of days. She said, فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمُ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ. So today, I will not speak to any individual. So the meaning of sawm in this ayah, in Surah Maryam, it isn't that she took a vow to fast, but she took a vow to abstain and withhold, because the linguistic meaning was used. And what is the meaning, what is the intended meaning of As-Siyam or As-Sawm within the context of the Sharia, within fiqh? It is Al-Imsak min al-mufattirat min tulu' al-fajr ila ghurub al-shams. It is Al-Imsak, it is to withhold from something. When we fast, we don't do certain things. So this is the relation between the linguistic meaning and the Shari'i meaning. And what do we abstain from? Mufattirat, everything which breaks a person's fast, like eating and drinking and intimate relations and so on and so forth. And what is the period between which we abstain from these matters? Min tulu' al-fajr, from the break of dawn, from dawn, ila ghurub al-shams, up until sunset. And al-ibadah, worship, it is two types. We have ibadah fi'liya, we have a worship in which we have to physically do something, and then there is ibadah tarkiya. There is an ibadah which we leave something. And fasting, it is from al-ibadat at-tarkiya. It is from those acts of ibadah which you have to not do something. And for this reason, when the fuqaha, when they talk about as-siyam, the main thing that they talk about is mufattirat as-siyam, those things which break and invalidate the fasting. When the fuqaha talk about the salah, they talk about the conditions of the salah and the pillars of the salah and the obligations of the salah and the sunan of the salah. Why? Because it involves doing something. You have to do a ruku, you have to do a sujood, before it you have to face the qibla and so on and so forth. But when it comes to fasting, the worship is in not doing something. The worship is in abstaining away from something. And that's why the main focus of the fuqaha is in talking about those things which you have to stay away from, not those things which you have to do whilst you are fasting. And notice also that there is a difference between tulu' al-fajr, dawn, and tulu' al-shams, and sunrise. And sometimes people make a mistake when they are translating tulu' al-fajr, or when they are explaining fasting to somebody, they will say that fasting is not eating between sunrise and sunset. And this is incorrect. Because sunrise, it is طلوع الشمس. And fasting does not start with sunrise. It starts with dawn or the break of dawn. And this is called طلوع الفجر. So what is the difference between طلوع الفجر and طلوع الشمس? What is the difference between dawn, the break of dawn, and sunrise? طلوع الفجر is when the edge of the sun has not reached the horizon, but light has broken. We can see light, but the sun has not risen above the horizon. We cannot see anything from the sun, but we can see light. And sometimes it is called daybreak, and sometimes they call it dawn or the light of dawn. And as for طلوع الشمس, sunrise, then it is when we see the edge of the sun appearing above the horizon. As soon as we see the edge of the sun appearing above the horizon, this is now طلوع الشمس. Now the sun is beginning to rise. We call it sunrise. The fast, it starts before this. It starts with طلوع الفجر, the break of dawn. And depending on country to country and locality to locality, but there's roughly between 30 to 45 minutes between طلوع الفجر and between طلوع الشمس. And also the dawn, it's two types. There is الفجر الكاذب and there is الفجر الصادق. There is a false dawn and the true dawn. The false dawn, it comes before the true dawn. And the false dawn, there's a little bit of light and then it goes dark again. And also the false dawn, the light is vertical, and as for the true dawn, then the light is across the horizon, horizontal. And these are the main two differences between false dawn and true dawn. Al-Fajr al-Kadhib, this is the false dawn, and Al-Fajr al-Sadiq, which is the true dawn. So the true dawn we know, because firstly, there's only light. Once it breaks, it doesn't get dark again. It gets lighter and lighter and lighter. Whereas Al-Fajr al-Kadhib, after a little bit of light, it'll become dark again. And Al-Fajr al-Sadiq, true dawn, the light appears horizontally across the horizon. And as for the false dawn, then it is vertical. And for this reason, they say that something is a false dawn. Even in the English language, we have a saying that it was a false dawn, meaning it was a false alarm. And Islamically, all of the acts of worship, they are attached and connected to the true dawn. So the false dawn, Al-Fajr al-Kadhib, has nothing to do with any act of worship. The fasting and the other acts of worship, they are only connected to Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. And of course, fasting, and especially fasting the month of Ramadan, this is one of the greatest acts of worship. And it is the third pillar from the five arkan of Al-Islam. And one of the reasons why fasting is from the greatest acts of worship is because when a person fasts, you are fulfilling and combining all of the three types of sabr, all of the three types of patience. So as-sabr, patience, it has three types. The first type of patience is as-sabru ala ta'atillah, is being patient upon the obedience to Allah. The second type of patience is sabru an ma'asiyatillah, a person being patient in staying away from disobedience to Allah. And the third type of patience is as-sabru ala aqdarillah, a person being patient upon the decree of Allah. So being patient upon obedience to Allah, like the patience you have to pray five times a day, the patience a person has in giving da'wah, the patience a woman has in wearing her hijab, the patience a mujahid has when he fights in the way of Allah. This is as-sabru ala ta'atillah, being patient upon obedience to Allah. Then you have as-sabru an ma'asiyatillah, the second type, being patient away from disobedience to Allah. So not listening to music requires patience. And not looking at a woman who is ajnabiyya, it requires patience. And then the third type is as-sabru ala qadarillah, a person being patient upon the decree of Allah. So when a person goes through poverty, or cannot find food, or ill health, then all of this is patience upon the decree of Allah. Fasting, it's such a great ibadah that it combines all three types of sabr. So whilst you're fasting, you have to be patient upon obedience to Allah. Whilst you're fasting, we are told to be patient upon staying away from disobedience. And whilst you are fasting, you are patient upon this decree of Allah that there is no food or drink between dawn and between sunset. And also from the virtues of fasting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ascribed fasting to Himself. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمْ لَهُ, that the other actions of Adam, of the sons of Adam, it is for them. إِلَّا الصَّوْمْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي, except for fasting, because it is for me. وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I am the one who will reward it. And the meaning of this hadith, a person might say that aren't all of the acts of worship for Allah, and isn't it Allah who rewards every act of worship? So why did Allah specify fasting and say fasting is for my sake alone, and I am the one who rewards with fasting? The first reason is because Allah Jalla fil Ula, He wanted to highlight the nobility and the sharaf of this action, that He ascribed it to Himself, even though all of the acts of worship are from Allah and Allah rewards it. But to emphasize the reward that will come, He ascribed it to Himself. The second reason is because لِأَنَّ صَوْمَ سِرٌّ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَرَبِّهِ, because fasting, it is a secret between a person and his Lord. When you pray, everybody can see you praying. When you go to do a hajj, everybody sees you going to do a hajj. But when you are fasting, only Allah knows that you are fasting. Even in Ramadan, you might not be eating, but we don't know that a person in private may be eating and breaking his fast. So the only person who knows when a person is fasting or not is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason He said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي. The other acts of worship that Ibn Adam does, everybody else can see them. As for fasting, only I know whether a person fasts or he does not. He said, وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I am the one who will reward it. The other acts of worship, Allah increases the reward to tenfold, up to 700 times. Any act of worship that a person does, a prayer for example, from the mercy of Allah and the kindness of Allah, is that He doesn't reward one prayer with one good deed. Rather, He multiplies that one prayer by 10 times. So the minimum that you get for every single prayer is 10 good deeds, or as if you've prayed 10 prayers. And the more sincere a person is, and the more a person follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more the deed keeps increasing up until 700 times. As for fasting, then Allah says, I am the one who rewards it. Meaning I will reward it, I will reward a person more than he can ever imagine. More than 10 times, more than 700 times, the person will not imagine how much I reward. The author Al-Bassam, he says, أَمَّا حِكَمُهُ وَأَسْرَارُهُ, as for the wisdoms of fasting, and as for the treasures and the secrets of fasting, فَلَيْسَ فِي مَقْدُورِ هَذِهِ النُّبْذَ الْمُخْتَصِرَ تُبَيِّنَ ذَلِكَ, then it isn't possible for all of the wisdoms and the secrets and the treasures and the benefits of fasting to be mentioned in such a summarized introduction. وَإِنَّمَا أُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ قَلِيلٍ مِّن كَثِيرٍ, rather, I will allude to a few benefits from the many, many benefits of fasting. لِيَعْلَمَ الْقَارِ شَيْئًا مِّنْ أَسْرَارِ اللَّهِ فِي شَرْعِهِ, so the reader and the listener can know some of the benefits and some of the wisdoms and some of the treasures which the Sharia contains for its people. فَيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا وَيَقِينًا, and so a person can increase in his iman and increase in his yaqeen, in his certainty. في وقت تزعزعت فيها العقائد, in a time in which the belief and the aqeedah of the people is being shaken up. وَتَضَعْضَعَ فِيهَا الْإِيمَانِ, and in a time in which the iman of the people is being afflicted by doubts and weakness. فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He says, Rahimullah, فَمِن تِلْكَ الْحِكَمِ السَّامِيَةِ, from the divine wisdoms and treasures of fasting, is firstly, it is ibadatullah. It is an act of worship. Every single minute a person spends in which he is fasting in that state, then he is being rewarded and he is in the act of worship. He is in the worship of Allah. So a person shouldn't think that when I am fasting, suhoor is the act of worship and iftar is the act of worship. No. Rather, every single minute from Tulu' al-Fajr all the way to Ghurub al-Shams, a person is in the constant act of worship. وَالْخُضُوعِ لَهُ, and a person is showing his submissiveness in front of Allah, his submission in front of Allah. لِيَكُونَ صَائِمٌ مُقْبِلًا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and one of the wisdoms of fasting is that it teaches the person to turn to Allah. When you are fasting, you have Allah in your heart. You have Allah, you're always remembering Allah. You are turning towards Allah Jalla fil Ula. خَاضِعًا خَاشِعًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and that a person, when he's fasting, he submits himself in front of Allah. And he shows humility in front of Allah. حِينَمَا يُنْكِرُ سُلْطَانَ الشَّهْوَةِ, and this is more so when a person, he denies the authority of desires. The shahwa, the desires, which usually have sultah, which usually have an authority over the people, but when a person is fasting, he is the one who gains control over his desires. And he says, وَلِيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ ضَعِيفٌ فَقِيرٌ, and also from the wisdoms and the treasures of fasting is that the person who is fasting should realize that he is weak in front of Allah and he is poor and needy in front of Allah. بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ حِينَمَا يَرَى ضَعْفَهُ وَعَجْزَهُ, and he stands in front of Allah whilst he's fasting, appreciating his own weakness and his own inability. فَيُنْكِرُ فِي نَفْسِهِ الْكِبْرَ وَالْعِظْمَةَ, and so he frees himself from this arrogance and he frees himself from haughtiness. فَيَسْتَكِينُ لِرَبِّهِ, and so he becomes a miskeen in front of his Lord. وَيَلِينُ لِخَلْقِهِ, and he gentles himself, he becomes more lenient in front of the creation of Allah. These benefits and these wisdoms and treasures of fasting are individual benefits. You benefit individually. He said, وَمِنْهَا حِكَمٌ إِجْتِمَاعِيَّةٌ, and also in fasting, there are social benefits. So the benefit of fasting is not restricted to a person himself. Rather, as a society, there are social benefits to fasting. He says, مِنْ اجْتِمَاعِهِمْ عَلَىٰ عِبَادَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, when the Muslims, all of them come together and all of them congregate in worshipping, in the same act of worship. فِي وَقْتٍ وَاحِدٍ, in the same time, in the same month, all of the Muslims are fasting. The same dawn and the same sunset, all of the Muslims are fasting. وَصَبْرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا, and all of them are being patient. قَوِيُّهُمْ وَضَعِيفُهُمْ, whether a person is strong or a person is weak. شَرِيفُهُمْ وَوَضِيعُهُمْ, whether a person is of high nobility or low, high lineage or low lineage. غَنِيُّهُمْ وَفَقِيرُهُمْ, whether a person is rich or he is poor. Then all of them are being patient, at the same time worshipping the same Lord, worshipping with the same type of worshipping, having the same type of patience. عَلَىٰ مُعَانَاتِهَا وَتَحَمُّلِهَا, and all of these Muslims have come together in order to tolerate or be patient upon the difficulties of fasting and tolerate it. And what does this cause? مِمَّا يُسَبِّبُ رَبَطَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and this act of worship, this fasting in Ramadan, it causes the hearts of the believers to be joined together. وَتَآلُفَ أَرْوَاحِهِمْ, and it causes their souls to find love and affection between each other. وَلَمِّ كَلِمَتِهِمْ, and the statement, it is united and it comes together. He says, وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقْوَى مِنْ هَذِهِ الْإِرَادَةِ الْمَتِينَةِ. There is nothing which is stronger than this. الَّتِي لَا تَحْكُمُهَا أَقْوَى الدَّعَيَاتِ. All of these claims that people claim about coming together and trying to bring the people together, there is nothing which is as strong as Ramadan and all of the Muslims coming together in order to worship one Lord with the same type of worship at the same time in the same month, having the same amount of patience. كَمَا أَنَّهُ سَبَبُ عَطْفِ بَعْضِهِمْ عَلَى بَعْضِ. And fasting, it is also a cause for the Muslims between each other to have affection and feelings for each other. وَرَحْمَةِ بَعْضِهِمْ بَعْضًا. And have rahmah and mercy for each other. حِينَمَا يُحِسُّ الْغَنِي أَلَمَ الْجُوعِ وَلَضْعَ الذَّمَأِ. When the rich, wealthy person, he will also feel the difficulty of hunger and the difficulty of thirst. فَيَتَذَكَّرُ أَنَّ أَخَاهُ الْفَقِيرُ يُعَانِي مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآلَامِ دَهْرَهُ كُلَّهُ. So this rich person, he now realizes that as for my poor brother who doesn't have much wealth, then this hunger which I'm going through now, this poor Muslim, he goes through it, dahrahu kullahu, all of his time, every day, all year, and he goes through this hunger. فَيَجُودُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ بِشَيْءٍ. And therefore, he shows some kindness to the poor due to some of his wealth. يُزِيلُ الضَّغَائِنُ وَالْأَحْقَادِ. And this causes the malice which occurs between the Muslims to be wiped away, and the hatred between the Muslims and the people to be wiped away. And instead of this malice and hatred and jealousy which may occur between the people, when fasting comes, what comes in its place? وَيَحِلُّ مَحَلَّهَا الْمَحَبَّ وَالْإِوِئَامِ. Instead, in its place in Ramadan, we find love and harmony and affection and caring for each other. وَمِنْهَا. And also from the wisdoms and the secrets of fasting is حِكَمٌ أَخْلَاقِيَّةٌ تَرْبَوِيَّةٌ. Are wisdoms which refine the morals and the manners of a person, and they contain within it tarbiyah, cultivation. فَهُوَ يُعَلَّمْ الصَّبْرُ وَالتَّحَمُّلُ. So through Ramadan, a person is taught patience. Through Ramadan and fasting, a person is taught forbearance and tolerance. وَيُقَوِّي الْعَزِيمَ وَالْإِرَادَةَ. And through fasting of Ramadan, a person strengthens his self-discipline, and a person strengthens his determination. وَيُمَرِّنْ عَلَى مُلَاقَاتِ الشَّدَائِدِ وَتَذْلِيلِهَا وَالصُّعَابِ وَتَهْوِينِهَا. And a person, he trains himself upon facing difficulties of not eating, not drinking, staying away from disobedience, and staying away from desires. And this is something which becomes belittled in his eyes. وَمِنْهَا حِكَمٌ صِحِيَّةٌ. And also from the wisdoms of fasting and the treasures and secrets of fasting is حِكَمٌ صِحِيَّةٌ, health benefits, the wisdoms which help a person's health. فَإِنَّ الْمِعْدَةَ بَيْتُ الدَّاءِ. Because the stomach, it is the house of all illnesses. The illnesses, the majority of illnesses, they occur because of what we place in our stomachs. وَالْحِمْيَةُ رَأْسُ الدَّوَاءِ. And as for himya, prevention, then this is the head of all cures. So what we eat, this causes us to be ill. And a person dieting or controlling his eating and preventing eating rubbish, this is the cure. Like they say, prevention is the best cure. And this is of course something which now the non-Muslims have realized, and they call it detoxes or staying away from eating. Well, he said, وَلَا بُدَّ لِلْمِعْدَةِ أَن تَأْخُذْ فَتْرَةَ إِسْتَرَاحَةٍ وَاسْتِجْمَامٍ. That it is important for the stomach to have a time in which it rests and in which it finds relief. بَعْدَ تَعْبْ تَوَالِيَ الطَّعَامْ عَلَيْهَا. After the stomach becoming tired of constantly eating, the body and the stomach is in need of detoxing and having some rest from the hard work it does in trying to digest all of the food it eats. He says in ending, He said, هَذِهِ نُبْذَةٌ يَسِيرَةٌ تُشِيرُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ مِّنْ حِكَمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَسْرَارِهِ. That this which I have mentioned, this is a very summarized introduction into some of the wisdoms of Allah and some of the secrets and the treasures of Allah. وَاسْتِقْصَاءُ مَا يُحِيطُ بِهِ الْعَقَلَ الْبَشَرِي يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى تَصَانِيفٍ مُسْتَقِلَّةٍ. And if a person with just his own logic and intellect, if he was to investigate and think about the personal benefits of fasting and the social benefits of fasting and the health benefits of fasting and the morals and the manners which are refined through fasting, يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى تَصَانِيفٍ مُسْتَقِلَّةٍ, then he would need volumes of books. If we were just to use our own intellect and use even science as a gauge of the benefits of fasting, then we would need volumes to write about the wisdom of fasting. He said, وَفَضْلًا عَمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Never mind the benefits of fasting which only Allah knows. Mean there are some benefits of fasting which we realize and we can understand. These social benefits and these personal benefits in terms of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the health benefits, we realize this. How about the benefits of fasting which Allah knows and the people do not realize? And with this, the author rahimullah, i.e. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Bassam, the one who explained Umdatul Ahkam, he finished his introduction. With this, we go to the first hadith. And of course, the first hadith in the book of Siyam, it is hadith number 174 in the book Umdatul Ahkam. And this hadith has been narrated by Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين إلا رجلا كان يصوم صوما فليصمه. And the meaning of this hadith, which Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, do not proceed Ramadan by fasting a day or 2 days before Ramadan. إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما, except a man whose habit was fasting, his normal custom outside of Ramadan, he fasts a particular day, then he can fast it. So the first word which is mentioned, لا تقدموا, and the meaning of لا تقدموا is do not proceed Ramadan, meaning before Ramadan, do not fast 1 or 2 days before Ramadan. So the 28th and the 29th, or the 29th and the 30th of Sha'ban, the month before Ramadan, a person is not allowed to fast. And this word, it should have been تَتَقَدَّمُوا, لَا تَتَقَدَّمُوا, and then the first ta has been deleted. So the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from fasting 1 or 2 days before Ramadan is because he wants to differentiate between different types and acts of worship. The ibadat, as you know, there are two types. There is the ibadah which is fard and wajib, an obligation, and then there is the ibadah which is mustahab, something which is recommended. The fasting of Ramadan, it is wajib. The fasting of the other days, it is only mustahab, recommended. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants us to distinguish between the fasting which is an obligation and the fasting which is mustahab and it is only recommended. So if a person was going to fast the last 2-3 days of Sha'ban, and then the next day, the very next day, fasts Ramadan as well, then this distinction and this differentiation, it doesn't occur. So because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade us from fasting 1 or 2 days before Ramadan and joining it with Ramadan. The only exception to this is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِلَّا رَجُلًا كَانَ يَصُومُ صَوْمًا فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Except in the case of a man who used to fast anyway. Habitually he used to fast. So for example, a man, he fasts every Monday and every Thursday, and this is his habit throughout the year. And Ramadan, it falls on Friday. We have been forbidden from fasting that Thursday and that Wednesday because the next day, Friday, it is Ramadan. But that person who fasts anyway, and his normal practice to fast every Monday and Thursday, for him it is allowed to fast the Thursday which comes before the Friday. And also, if for example a person had qada upon him or her, he had fast to make up, and only one or two days are left for Ramadan, and he or she has one or two days left to make up those fasts, then it is permitted for that person to make up the fast. Or for example, a person took a nadhar, and a nadhar is a vow. A person made a vow to Allah that I will fast a day before Ramadan, and only a day for Ramadan remains. He has to fulfill that vow before Ramadan comes in. So there's a difference between a person normally doing nawafil fasts and a person having a habit on Mondays and Thursdays or other days. And those general nawafil, they are called an-nafal al-mutlaq, a general absolute nafal, voluntary act. Like for example, if a person wanted now to get up and pray two rak'at nafal for the sake of Allah, this is nafal mutlaq. There's no reason for this person praying two nafal, he just generally wants to do it. But as for the two rak'at of tahiyyatul masjid, it is called dhatul asbab. It is called a nafal which has a particular reason attached to it. So those nawafil, whether it is fasting, whether it is praying, which are dhawatul asbab, which have a reason attached to it, sometimes they are given a slight more importance than the nafal which is mutlaq. So what do we benefit from this hadith? Number one, it is not permitted for a person to fast one or two days before Ramadan and join it along with Ramadan. And this prohibition, it is even more severe if a person fasts Yawm al-Shak. And the meaning of Yawm al-Shak is a person fasts a day of doubt, meaning a person isn't sure whether the moon has been sighted or not. Because it's cloudy on a particular day, he thinks, well, because it's cloudy, maybe the moon is there, the new moon, and I cannot see it, so I'll fast the 30th day of Sha'ban just to be on the safe side. Min bab al-ihtiyat. Just to take ihtiyat, just to be on the safe side, so I don't miss a day of fasting. Then the 30th of Sha'ban, I'll fast it just in case. Just in case the moon is there, but it's behind the clouds and we cannot see it. And Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned, من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه. Whoever fasts a day of doubt, meaning that 30th of Sha'ban on a cloudy day, just to be on the safe side, he said, فَقَدْ عَصَى أَبُو الْقَاسِمِ. Then he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim. Abu al-Qasim being Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and others. From the benefits of this hadith is that it is permitted for a person to fast one or two days before Ramadan if he habitually fasts anyway, or he had qadha to make up, or it was another or a vow which he was making. And from the benefits which we take from this hadith, and we finish with this, is that from the wisdom of Allah is how he has legislated obligatory actions and nawafil actions, and he has distinguished between both of them. The most beloved actions to Allah, like is in the hadith al-Qudsi, are those actions which Allah has obligated. And just as Allah, he differentiated between the obligatory actions and the nawafil actions, then also upon us, we have to differentiate between the obligatory actions and the nawafil actions. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade a person from praying the fard prayer and then making the taslim and then straight away standing up and praying the nafil prayer. Why? So there is a difference, and it is distinguished, the fard prayer between the nafil prayer. For this reason, it is legislated that a person either moves front or to the side, he changes his place, or he makes dhikr, or he says something, just to break and differentiate between the two types of prayer. And the same with fasting. And we suffice with this bi'idhnillah until the next lesson inshallah, and we'll carry on going through the book until we finish the book, but before or even during Ramadan. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. And just before we finish, there's a point that in front of me are two types of people. Either you are like the majority of mankind who need to write in order to memorize the benefits, or you're like al-Imam al-Bukhari wa Shafi'i, who doesn't need to write anything and he memorizes. And today, wallahu a'lam, I think I saw in front of me maybe 20 Bukharis and Shafi'is not writing, just memorizing. So from adab al-ta'allam, from the manners and etiquettes of attending lessons, is to write and to take notes and keep these books with you. Keep them safe, bi-idhnillah. If there's brothers or sisters who don't have books, we'll try to print some more next week. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.